Well, okay, it's a little after, we're closing in on 2:32, and again, I know people are busy, so Kathy, if it's all right, I'll get going.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Once again, my name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. Thank you for joining us on this call, our weekly call for wastewater operators, system operators. Thank you also for accommodating a time change. We try to hold the same time every week. It's traditionally been 9 a.m., but just had an irreversible, unavoidable conflict this week. Next week, we will be going back to the 9 a.m. regular meeting time. And I try not to do this more than once, just because it is disruptive to people's schedules. So thank you again for your patience and flexibility on that. This call is being recorded, as all of our previous calls are. We need to let you know that as a matter of protocol. And also we tell you that because the calls are, the recordings are put up on our website after they're concluded, to either be a reference in case there was one part of the discussion that people wanted to focus in on, or if folks weren't able to join on the call at the time, they'd be able to hear that information then. On the call, we have, first of all, as you've heard her voice, Kathy Baskin, our Assistant Commissioner for Water, is on the call and is helping us make sure that not only does the call proceed smoothly today, but that we're doing follow-up in case there are questions or issues that we need to follow up on after the call. As you know, we use these calls, we talk about issues, and we try to write up the things we talked about on these calls and put them in our FAQs, or question and answer section, also on the water and wastewater COVID page that DEP has established. We're going to be putting some up-to-date information from our last call up, I believe, hopefully by tomorrow. We've been working on writing some of those issues up and exploring some of those issues. I'm hopeful we'll see those up by tomorrow. We're just finishing the writing and review process to make sure it reflects what we were talking about. I'll also note that we do have both headquarters and regional staff from across the state, DEP, on the call. It's important for us to, if there are issues to follow up on, that we're staying in touch, and it's helpful for us all to be, you know, hearing these things and, you know, following up appropriately. I did want to, as we always do, it is terrific that we are joined by EPA on these calls. I know Denny Dart and Jeff Kopp are on the call. I might ask you if you'd like to unmute yourselves and give us any updates from the EPA perspective.
Hi, thank you, Commissioner. This is Denny Dart. I can announce today that we have settled dates for the DMR QA Study 40. Some people had questions about that. This is the annual lab audit process for NPDES facilities and contract labs. There had been some talk of canceling or postponing in light of COVID-19, but based on inputs from states, the Study 40 will go forward, but the dates are modified, and I can give you those modified dates. So EPA will accept DMR QA proficiency test standards for Study 40 that were ordered on or after March 20th of this year. And then we'll continue to accept water pollution proficiency test standards where the study closed on or after January 1st, 2020. So again, that's ordered on or after March 20th and closed on or after January 1st, 2020. So I'm happy to answer questions later, but I just wanted to make sure people knew that. The letters will be sent out in the next week, and some people will be receiving email even sooner than that.
All right. Thank you very much, Denny. And again, thank you for being on the call. And while we're talking about EPA, I will spend a moment talking about an issue that that we have been working on with EPA, and it gets into the personal protective equipment issues that have come up throughout this emergency situation and often on our calls. Denny's colleague in the drinking water program, Jane Downing, in discussions with Homeland Security, FEMA, was able to secure a commitment for 60,000 cloth masks to make their way to Massachusetts for use by water and wastewater facility operators and employees of those facilities. That is great news. We are told that the mask will arrive in about a week and a half. When we got the news that the masks were coming, we began working with a number of partners, because one of the things, while the federal government was going to make sure that the masks made it to Massachusetts, the issue of distributing them to the facilities was something that was going to be our responsibility, for state and operators in Massachusetts. And so we convened a group last week to, answer the Fed's first question about where do you want these things delivered? And then secondly, to start thinking about how we would get them more broadly delivered, and also how we would track, how we would survey people to identify needs, and then also track where these deliveries were made, which was part of the commitment that the federal government is looking for. And we worked with a number of utilities. The way this is going to work, and again, we're still developing the overall contours of the program, but we want to be ready to go the minute the masks arrive, some 10 days from now. So we've been working with groups like the Mass Waterworks Association. We've been working with Mickey Nowak and the wastewater operators, NUIPIC, NUIA, and some of the RCAP groups and some of the other groups, to make sure that we were being as coordinated, as thoughtful, and as thoughtful as possible. And we recognize that if these masks are going to need to be distributed all over the state, to answer the federal government's first question of where they're going to be delivered, we've identified regional facilities around the state, in the western part of the state, in the eastern part of the state, in the southeast, in the northeast, and in the central part of the state, that would be the original places, the original points of delivery, and that would also take an important role in being basically a place where people can come and pick up the masks. And there's still some more detail work to be done. We will keep everybody posted on it, but I really want to thank the Greater Lawrence Sanitary District. I really want to thank MWRA. I really would like to thank the Upper Blackstone Pollution Abatement District, Springfield Water and Sewer Commission. There are other partners that are going to be coming on board as well, but we're trying to get them again first. We want to make sure that we get the masks in hand, and then we get them into your hands as quickly as possible. You may have seen that there is a survey out right now where we're asking for people to fill out their needs. We are asking that it be, one person filling it out for the particular facility or operator, but we're trying to get, those surveys filled out by as many people as possible, so we can start looking at the data and working with our partners to figure out how to accomplish distribution. There's going to be a lot more, information that we're hopefully going to be able to provide in the next week as we develop the plans and make sure that the schedule by which these masks are arriving holds. But you know, it's been an effort that a number of your colleagues and partners have been working on, and we'll continue to work on to make sure these things get distributed. I might pause here to see whether Mickey Nowak has anything that he would like to add, if you want to unmute yourself, or Kathy Baskin about the survey. Maybe we'll ask Mickey first if there's anything you'd like to say. I don't know if you're on mute or.
I'm encouraging all the facilities to that need the face masks to participate. And if you have a supply of face masks already, you know, leave them for the other facilities.
Great. Okay, thanks. And Kathy, anything further on either the survey, you know, that you'd like to highlight or?
Well, we're just hoping that the regional plants will let their member communities know about the survey. We also just pushed it out today through the Mass Municipal Association, because frankly, we want to see more people respond. And I had a question. I did post on the chat the web link to the survey. If you're on a phone and you want that, you can email me at kathleen.baskin@mass.gov. We had a question asking or saying that the person who was responding did not have a facility ID. It's a school wastewater treatment plant and felt maybe he couldn't respond to the survey. And I would say to skip it, or you know, put a bunch of X's in or something if you can't skip it. But do respond. It's okay if you don't have a facility ID number.
Right, and we'll talk to EPA about that. I know, you know, this part of the reason why we asked for it was that it was the tracking template that we got from EPA, and we'll talk to them about, you know, the unique cases where you know, people are having a hard time filling it in. But yeah, I think your guidance is right. Better to fill it in, and we can always engage with somebody that's, you know, got a particular challenge on filling out all the fields afterwards, but it's important to get the requests in.
That's right. We put a deadline of today. It's a very simple survey, and we really would like to see a lot more people respond.
Okay, well, terrific. And we will be staying in touch. A few other issues before we open it up to any questions and answers. And again, if you want to, you know, two ways to ask questions. Number one is to send the email to kathleen.baskin@mass.gov. She's, you know, sort of collecting the questions right now as they come in, and then later, you know, we'll have an open time here to do that as well. But a couple of things before that. There are a few things we always talk about on these calls. Number one, you know, I try to give an update on testing. I try to give an update on the economic impacts discussion that we've all collectively started to have, and then also one on licensing. So I'll just go through. On testing, a number of you, both in the wastewater side and the drinking water side, have been making the request for a more organized priority testing program for water and wastewater operators. We do not have that program. You know, I know people in, you know, the idea of getting testing going for a number of sectors is something that, you know, continues to be a challenge. What I will, and right now, if somebody needs a test, you know, the only current guidance we could say is, you know, be in touch with your local boards of health, your local health authorities, and your healthcare providers, your physicians and healthcare providers. If you are really having, you know, difficulties getting a test in a particular situation, you know, let us know. We will do our best to work with the command center to see what other resources are available, but you know, again, that's the best update I can provide right now. On economic impacts, a number of you are continuing to do really important work and continue to do important advocacy, identifying, you know, the very likely economic impacts that utilities will be feeling, water and wastewater utilities will be feeling, you know, on as part of the economic impacts of the COVID emergency, the lost revenues, either as a result of, you know, significant reductions in the use of water during the emergency, the challenge, you know, to, you know, more people having trouble pay and people and businesses having trouble paying their bills. There's been advocacy for including water and wastewater in any future stimulus effort. I don't have a specific update. I will say that I notice on the news that there is talk of another stimulus package in Washington. And it looks at state and local issues, and that would hopefully be an encouraging, an encouraging place to talk about this. We are continuing to stay in touch with our secretary, with our secretary's liaison to the command center to identify this as an ongoing issue of concern. We've shared the analytical work. There have been some studies done by national organizations that are trying to help paint the picture of what, you know, an economic downturn might mean. We're sharing all of that information. And obviously, if we do hear things, and we will make sure that we are staying in touch with you on it. So I just wanted to acknowledge that we are continuing to try to articulate what you are articulating to us, to people that may be working on the stimulus and relief types of efforts. The last thing is licensing. We're lucky we have John Murphy from the board with us each week. When we do this, I might ask John if you have any updates to offer.
Yes, thanks, Commissioner. We don't have any major updates. The past week and a half, we haven't received any emergency certification requests. So I think that's encouraging that the facilities were proactive at the beginning of this, getting their staffing plans and needs in place. Up as to date, I believe we processed all the applications that we've received with new licenses and status changes. And I believe everything is up to date. Saying that though, if you've mailed something to the DEP Boston office and have not heard a response back, please contact me either by email or phone, and I will put my contact information in the chat box. And please try to get in touch with me in the next, you know, few days, and we will get those processed and we can have a conversation. Other than that, that's the update from the Board of Certification.
Great. And Kathy, I might keep John on for one moment longer, because I think we got a question about testing. And given that the emergency has now been extended to May 18th, am I remembering right? Was there a question about when will testing centers be open?
That's
and
correct.
I might ask John, we heretofore the emergency was going to end, the original date was May 4th. It's now to May 18th. Would we expect that those centers will remain closed through the 18th? Any insight you had on that, John, that would be helpful.
Yes, and we've been in contact with ABC throughout the process on how things are unfolding. The way it's currently being worked is that the exam sites are adhering to the requirements from the governor in each state. So it seems like it hasn't been announced by ABC yet, but with the date being extended in Massachusetts to May 18th, I would make the assumption that the exam sites will be shut down until then.
Okay. So I think that's all the preliminaries that we and updates we have to offer. So Kathy, I don't know if we've gotten any email questions since we've started the call.
Yes. Well, somebody has asked about the intended use plan and whether or not that's been finalized. So I did put a link to the clean water and the drinking water IUPs up. I don't know if you want to speak about that.
Yeah, good point. A good question and a good reminder, because last week we got that question, and thankfully we were able to get the intended use plans published yesterday, And so, as Kathy indicates, the links are up, so that those are out now, and hopefully that's helpful to those of you who were, you know, in various stages of, you know, project design and project contracting, but those are out now.
We also had a question that was posted in the chat to everyone. Are municipal call participants appealing to their federal delegates to support stimulus relief for water sector? So I don't know if you want to discuss that, but I thought I would at least read it out so those folks on the phone who don't see the chat know that that is, you know, that's something that's being asked.
Okay, and so this is pointing out the importance of having the federal stimulus include the water and wastewater sectors.
That's right. We've had some. There were a couple of questions that came up on the drinking water side yesterday about interacting with the local boards of health, and there was one where it was water suppliers who went into a home that where there were sick people who were sick, and that they were asked to stay out of the workforce until they were tested, and I think you were raising that up through our public health channels.
Right. Yeah. Two different but related questions. One is, somebody had to go in and to do an emergency repair of something in a, you know, that in required going into the home, and they learned later that some of the residents might have been COVID positive. And they were asking the question about whether or not this is information that, can be shared by health authorities to utilities. And I've heard this question's actually also come up in the electric sector as well, where you have people that need to go into people's homes. The initial response we've always heard was that, that information is, pretty limited to being shared with first responders and medical people. But we agreed, given that, this has come up, we would raise with the command center and see if there are ways that, water utilities in a town might be able to have some way to learn about, if they're going into a home where somebody might be affected by the disease. We did also point out, depending on what that answer is, and again, so far I haven't heard a different answer to the one we gave, but, one of the other things we did also discuss on the call yesterday was, some of the best practices that we've been trying to look at from utilities, really not just in Massachusetts, but across the country, the protocol of where possible, asking if before entering a home, if it's the type of situation where you can do that, asking before somebody enters the home whether or not somebody's affected by the illness or not, is important. I realize in all cases that may not be a possibility. The other question we got was the question of a utility worker who had been exposed and was told by a local health authority. And again, this is secondhand. I don't know which community this is, but we've agreed to follow up with our contacts at the command center on this. The local health authority said they need to be, they need to be cleared medically before they could go back to work. And, again, we're waiting for some more details on that. As you know, we don't have a separate protocol, the DEP, that would overrule the guidance of local health authorities. But, in this particular case, if it is raising a question, if somebody's having a hard time, being able to be tested to go back to work, we wanted to hear more about that situation so we could share it with the command center. And so, we'll update that certainly on the drinking water side where these questions came in, but that's a good reminder from Kathy that we'll also update those questions and answers on the wastewater side as well, because you may be confronting those same types of issues going forward.
Commissioner, there was one other question that came up on the drinking water side that's applicable to the wastewater side, and that was somebody was asking whether or not participation in these calls would be reimbursable by FEMA someday. And you talked broadly about keeping records of all costs, I think. So I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got FEMA is putting out, you know, they're doing webinars and virtual training for people that are trying to keep track of their COVID-related expenses. And so they have sessions for different, you know, the private sector, the state governments, and then local governments. And one of the members on yesterday's call that went to the local government thing, I guess they heard that they could charge, you know, they could, you know, basically record the time they spent going to that session as reimbursable time, as a covered emergency expense. And one of the members asked whether or not, you know, being on calls like this with us would also be covered. And I don't know the answer to that. You know, keeping track of time is, you know, generally, as we've indicated, a good thing to do in any case. But whether or not, you know, what the federal government's view of calls like this, where we're all trading notes on dealing with the emergency, we've gone to MEMA and in turn trying to get to FEMA to get some clarity on that. We'll post that on the website as well.
And I see in a related chat note from Jennifer Peterson, she has posted the website for the upcoming MEMA municipal applicant briefing for tomorrow from 2:30 to 4:30.
Great, that's right. They had one session and now they're having another one tomorrow, and that's good information.
And I do not have any other calls right now, so maybe you wanna open it up?
Yeah, if somebody has a question that or a comment they'd like to raise, I think you have to unmute yourself by hitting star six, but this would be a time to do that. All right. Well, if we don't have any of those questions, we will continue to update our questions and answers. Like I said, we will also go back to our usual time at 9 a.m. next Wednesday for a follow-up call. We will definitely keep working on the cloth mask distribution issues and keep trying to keep all of you informed about the schedule and about the logistics and, some follow-up questions based on your response to surveys. So we'll certainly be in touch in those ways. And, if there are updates that we get that are particularly time sensitive, we'll make sure that we're posting those and using our various means of communication, you know, blast emails, things on our website, other means of communicating, you know, including working with our partners who have their own very effective network of contacts with all of you. So, once again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Thank you for the amazing work that you're doing in the middle of this emergency situation. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay, thank you.